Borodar, and welcome to our online service of morning worship this 12th Sunday after Trinity. An opening prayer. Lord, among the business and bustle of the world, make us to be still and attentive to your presence. Keep our ears open to your call. Keep our hearts open to your love. Make our minds sensitive to your coming, that we may ever rejoice that we dwell in you, and you are in us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We now come to the peace, and it may be there's someone who's not with you right now you'd like to share the peace with. So as we say the words, just try and picture their face. The peace. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, that you may walk in the path of peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. And also with you. We come now to our opening hymn number 400. Lead us, Heavenly Father, lead us. Together in the name of Christ to offer our praise and thanksgiving, to hear and receive God's holy word, to pray for the needs of the world, and to seek forgiveness of our sins, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit we may give ourselves to the service of God. We confess our sins. Lord God, we have sinned against you and done evil in your sight. We are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us. Pardon and deliver us from all our sins. Confirm and strengthen us in all goodness and keep us in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We come now to our gradual hymn. Number 921, Purify My Heart.
Purify my heart, let me be as gold and precious silver. Let me be as gold, pure gold, refined as fire, my heart's one desire is to be holy. cleanse me from within and make me holy, purify my heart, cleanse me from my sin, deep within, refine as fire my heart's one desire is to be to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Ein tad, honuitan a nevoedd, Sancteiddio'r enw, dilyd y deyrnas gwneli'r dewyllus, megis yn y nef, felly ar y ddear hefyd. Dyroi ni heddiw ein bara benyddiol a maddau ni ein dyledion, fel yma ddiw ninnau ein dyledwyr. Ac nac arwain ni brofedigaeth eithi'r gwared ni rhag drwg, canis eiddo ti o'r deyrnas, a'r nerth a'r gogoniant, yn oes oesoedd. Amen.
Blessed be the Lord, for he has heard the voice of our prayer. Therefore our heart shall dance for joy, and in our song we will praise our God. The collect for today, this 12th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than either we desire or deserve. Pour down upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask, but through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The New Testament reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armour of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore take up the whole armour of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly, as I must speak. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John, chapter 6, verses 56 to 69. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the crowd, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe, and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you, that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back, and no longer went about with him. So as Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In today's New Testament reading, Paul is sending a warning to the church in Ephesus, and it is quite a warning. Paul is making them aware that the battle against evil is ongoing, and we must all be prepared for whatever is thrown at us by the devil and his dark army. We can see in our world today evil at work in conflicts, deprivation, famine, and also in greed and the misuse of power. These are the physical manifestations. Paul makes it clear that the battle is against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Spiritual warfare is not talked about much, but it is a fact, and it is happening all around us today. I remember a time when Edwina and I were chosen to be leaders on a Casio course. We had two sessions together with all the others involved, and the senior spiritual advisor made it clear to all of us that because of what we were doing, we would come under attack by the forces of evil, and he was right, we were. Those who are not flesh and blood enemies are demons over whom the devil has control. They are not mere fantasies, they are very real. We face a powerful army whose goal is to defeat Christ's church. When we believe in Christ, these beings become our enemies, and they try every device to turn us away from him and back to sin. Although we are assured in victory, we must continue the struggle until Christ returns, because Satan is constantly battling against all who are on the Lord's side. We need supernatural power to defeat Satan, and God has provided this by giving us his Holy Spirit within us and his armour surrounding us. If all this seems very challenging, remember what Jesus said to Peter in Matthew 16:18. "Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." Let us look now at the piece of the armour, starting with the belt of truth. In ancient times, men wore armour to go into battle. The full suit of armour had many different pieces. The pieces were held together by leather straps, so that it can be said that the belt of truth links all these pieces of the armour together. In John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth and the life." Truth is the start point. 1 John 1:8 says, "If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." To put on the belt of truth means to put your full trust in God's truth and in what he says. It means that you value God's truth more than the lies that are all around us today in our beautiful but broken world. Ephesians 1:3 says that God has given you every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. It says that you've been raised with Christ and seated with him. It says that you've been chosen, adopted, redeemed, forgiven and sealed with the Holy Spirit. Putting on the belt of truth means choosing to trust what God has done for you more than how you might feel at the moment. If you believe in God's truth, you will be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. It'll be like a belt that supports you so that you can stand. The breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness means being made right. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ." Our direct relationship with our Creator God has been restored through the death and resurrection of Jesus. In daily spiritual battle, righteousness protects the heart. We need the complete righteousness of Christ, but also the continuing righteousness that comes as a response to God's gift. The enemy tempts with all kinds of sinful entanglements, but righteousness protects our hearts. God's instructions are often viewed as killjoys or burdens, but obedience to God is a protection for your heart from being wounded by sin. To put on the breastplate of righteousness means to believe what Ephesians 1, 4-6 says about you. You have been chosen by God to be holy and without blame, before him in love. You've been predestined to be adopted by God. You are fully accepted by God through his beloved Jesus. Now that is wonderful. Feet shod with the gospel of peace. This is a very interesting analogy. When I was in the army on exercise, my boots, when not actually on my feet, were right next to me, ready to be put on in seconds. I was prepared. When I ran marathons, I used quality running shoes so I could last the course. The gospel of peace prepares us for our walk with Jesus. This means that you can always be prepared to take the message of God's peace to the people around you. God has gone to the utmost to reconcile us to himself and through Christ. We are now his messengers. The shoes of peace are because God's peace is made available to people through what Jesus, the Prince of Peace, did on the cross in dying for sin. The gospel good news is that the sin that separated people from God has been paid for by Jesus. Through faith in Christ and receiving this gracious gift of God, there can be peace and reconciliation with God. The gospel of peace is there as an encouragement so that even when times get tough, you can always share the message of God's love with people. Even through times of discouragement or even persecution, you can stand and do God's will. You can tell people about the good news of Jesus, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith. When Paul wrote this passage, Roman soldiers carried shields that were covered with heavy animal hide. Before a battle, they would dip their shields into water, so that when fiery darts hit them, the wet hide would extinguish the darts. In a similar way, a Christian's shield of faith needs to be regularly dipped in the water of God's word to be replenished and fully functional, because faith comes by hearing and trusting the word of God. To take up the shield of faith means to put your personal trust in God in every circumstance, trusting in God's power, his will and his desire to bring it about in the world and in your life. When the enemy attacks, it'll be to try to shake your faith and trust in God's word, in his love for you, and in his plans for your life. He comes to shake your confidence in God. Your feelings and your mind can change, but when you choose to take up the shield of faith, you grasp firmly to the unchanging God, who is the source of all that is good. The helmet of salvation. Helmets are worn by many different people. Think of soldiers, motorcyclists, policemen, firefighters, to name but a few. The helmets are worn for protection against injury. In the same way, our hope of salvation rests in the hands of Christ, who through his death and resurrection reconciled us to God. Salvation is not just going to heaven when we die, but in the here and now. The helmet of salvation, like the breastplate of righteousness, rests on the work of Christ to save us, but also involves us as we journey with the Lord and allow him to work that salvation into every part of our thoughts. The battlefield of our mind is the primary place a spiritual battle is fought. The Lord works his freeing truth into our perspectives while the enemy fights for strongholds to bind us. The helmet of salvation brings protection to your mind and brings hope no matter what happens in this life. The good news of Jesus brings real hope. The gospel is not only that Jesus died and was buried, he also rose again. And Jesus will return again at the end of this age to bring God's kingdom fully on earth. We put on this helmet of salvation when we put our hope fully in God. Look to the one who started the work of redemption and will one day complete it. The sword of the Spirit. Ephesians 6 concludes with the list of spiritual armour with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hebrews 4 describes the word of God as a two-edged sword. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This part of the armor of God, unlike the others, is both defensive and offensive. The word of God brings truth and freedom to the very core of your being. It's a weapon that can be used to destroy the crafty works of darkness. When we are tempted, the most effective weapon that God has given to us as believers is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Jesus shows us so clearly during his time in the wilderness when he was tempted by Satan. Satan tried temptation after temptation against him, and Jesus used the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. For example, in Luke 4:3-4, "Then the devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread.' But Jesus told him, 'No, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone.' When the devil tempted him 3 times, Jesus responded with the truth of God's word." As you commit to read and obey God's word, you are using the sword of the Spirit. Let God bring freedom and deliverance to your mind and to the core of your being. Paul in this passage also talks about 2 other important things for us to do. Paul says, "Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication." It's not a prayer just on the surface of simply asking God for stuff. We all do that. It seems sometimes that when praying, we have a list of things we want God to do. That is fine. But we also need to pray for a deeper relationship with our Creator, to be more aware of his presence in our lives. Praying in the Spirit is an ongoing communion with God. It's a longing to know his heart and mind. This is Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1:17-23. "That God would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that you might know him more." Paul also tells us that having put on the full armour of God, to stand firm. Today, there's never been a more important time for Christians around the world to stand firm in the face of evil in the world today. Our faith is being tested as never before, as we face the bewildering volume of information and disinformation from the mass media. We are rooted in Christ, and with the full armour of God, we can stand firm until Christ returns. In summary, we can, I think, conclude that the whole armour of God is an expression of our trust in God and what he has done for us through Jesus Christ. Our victory in spiritual warfare was secured at the cross of Christ and the blood that was shed there. Amen.
The third hymn this morning is number 428, "Lord for the Years."
Us on our way.
Let us pray. An opening prayer. Creator God, forgive our moments of ingratitude, the spiritual blindness that prevents us from appreciating the wonder that is this world, the endless cycle of nature, of life and death and rebirth. Forgive us for taking without giving, reaping without sowing. Open our eyes to see, our lips to praise, our hands to share. May our feet tread lightly on the path we tread, and our footsteps be worthy of following, for they lead to you. Amen. God of wholeness, God of grace, to you we bring our thanks and praise. To a world that searches, you are a lamp that shines. To a world that is hungry, you are the food that sustains. To a world that suffers, you are hope of release. To a world that's broken, you are the one who restores. To a world full of hate, you are the love that forgives. To a world that denies, you are truth that endures. We pray for all areas of conflict in the world today. We pray especially for the people of Afghanistan who are now facing a very uncertain future. We pray for tolerance, for forgiveness, for a willingness for all the people to face the future together in harmony. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all our children and young people as they come to the beginning of a new start in their journey in education. For those going to their first school, fill them with curiosity about the new things they are going to learn. For those leaving primary school and moving into secondary school, fill them with a desire to learn. For those going on the adventure of university, we pray that they will make the most of this opportunity, not just in education, but in all the other activities that are available. We pray for all teachers, lecturers and other staff in schools and universities. May they find a burning desire to pass on the knowledge they have. For those leaving school and entering the world of work for the first time, we pray that they will grasp this time fearlessly and make new friendships. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Healing God, bless those on a journey of recovery from illness or surgery. Grant strength, patience and freedom from pain. Bring restoration of health through your Spirit's power. Reach out and touch them so they know you are there, bringing comfort and light, even in the darkest of times. We pray for all those known to us who are ill or in pain. We pray especially for Matthew and Jane as they recover from injury. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Embrace in your loving arms all who are grieving the loss of family and loved ones through tragic circumstances or illness, where lives are in turmoil, hope turns to despair, and the pain is all that's felt. Be with them in their sorrow, uphold them in your strength, and through the generosity of love shown by others and your presence within their hearts, may they know they are not alone in their struggle through today. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. We come now to our final hymn for this Sunday. It is number 770, Will Your Anchor Hold?
Will your anchor hold in the storms of life, when the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain? Will your anchor drift or will it firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love. Will your anchor hold in the straits of fear when the breakers searches rage and the wild winds blow? Shall your angry waves in your bark overflow? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love. Will your anchor hold in the floods of death, where the waters cold chill your latest breath? On the rising tide you can never fail, while your anchor holds within the veil. We have an anchor billows roll, toss him to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love. Will your eyes behold through the morning light the city of gold and the harbour bright? Will your anchor safe by the heavenly shore, where the next storms are past forevermore? We have an anchor to keep the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Saviour's love.
May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you, wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness and protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, Amen.